Hey guys, Tyson Banker, Bench Clear Media. Happy with you guys today. Again, remember, rate, review the show. Follow me at numbers_behind. I have Katie Flower coming on here in a second. Before we get to her, I want to mention our sponsor, Queen City Breaks Facebook group. Avery and Harrison, the guys over there, breaking a lot of different products every week. Remember, if mentioned behind the numbers, you get $10 off of your break. So definitely jump into those guys. Great shipping, great time. They're pretty fun to watch as well if you just want to check out some breaks to see what it's like. But without further ado, I'm really excited to bring on Katie Flower. So thanks for joining us on Thursday Night Football. We're kind of following the Bucks and Eagles a little bit. Bucks are dismantling them, as I think some of us probably expected. But first off, I just want to mention, you know, I've listened to Katie and her show since like 2015. I was definitely heavy into football content before I had children. I think it's tied back a little bit since then, but definitely loved you guys' show then and now. And I loved just the comedy aspect as well, along with the deep dive into numbers, which is why my show is called Behind the Numbers. I love the numbers of football, and we use a dynasty football approach to which cards to go after and which cards not to. So I thought it'd be great to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Tyson. And thanks for being a listener for so long. I've been a big avid football fan forever, and getting into dynasty fantasy football in 2014 and then being able to be on a podcast and getting into the college game and being the diva of Debbie, it's been a fun run, and I really enjoy talking football. And I was a card collector, as I'm sure that you already know, and we'll talk about that coming up. But I've got a big, huge box, and I gotta know, are they stubs, are they duds? Like, what should I do with my collection?
Yeah, no, you have to check them out, let you know what you have. Like, definitely happy to let you know what to keep and what not to. But I think that's kind of a fun part. A lot of people right now, actually, Ty, he runs our Bench Clear, and he's been buying up some collection for people and sending me, you know, Walter Payton rookie pictures and all the things he's picking up, making me pretty jealous. So it's been pretty cool when you go find people that have collections that just store away, haven't seen for a while. It's kind of like reliving it. It's pretty fun. So perfect. Let's start off with just a couple quick headlines. CMC's setback, missed his practice again. Running backs are hard in the hobby, Katie, but like, CMC is an elite running back, so he has pretty good value in his cards. What are you doing with CMC? And let's just tailor a Saquon into it as well. What are you doing with those two in Dynasty right now, and how do you feel about them going forward?
Sure. So in Dynasty fantasy football, I have enough depth at running back. My strategy is to keep those guys that are one injury away on my roster. So that if you got, it doesn't even matter. I'm not even talking handcuffs like some people talk. You got to own the handcuff to CMC or whoever. I want to have guys that can be relevant by themselves if they get the starting opportunity. So guys like AJ Dillon, guys like, I think Chuba Hubbard is that. If CMC is injured, Chuba Hubbard can be the main guy.
Yeah.
If they're not the main guy, then I don't necessarily want them. But I keep enough depth so that I don't have to panic when I've got guys like CMC who are banged up. Saquon Barkley, banged up. If you get too many injuries, yeah, it stinks. But in most leagues, you only have to start one or two running backs anyway.
Right.
And you can get through. Like, I've had so many teams that were – deep enough at running back with the backup type guys that I'm talking about with wide receivers. You can almost start anybody. It seems it streaming wise, and tight end is a big crapshoot. So
it is, it's been bad this year for sure.
I mean, I've got some teams that are 5-0 right now that I've had some injuries, but I'm still doing okay because, and I'm holding. So the answer is I'm holding guys like CMC, Saquon. It's dynasty. You don't want to panic. You don't want to sell. You don't want to sell when they're injured for a discount. Yeah. I don't want to anyway. And you just have enough players in your arsenal to be able to pick up the slack.
Right. I think for me, it's just like with CMC, he's actually commanded a pretty good value. He was hitting around 350-ish for his rookie cards. And I just think that CMC has the most dynamic running back we've seen in a long time in terms of the volume of receptions and rushing. And so for me, it's like I'm still kind of holding his stuff if I have it, because I still believe that he's at a good value now. And I still think if he can just stay healthy for that 2 or 3 years after this, he's going to have a pretty good stat line of a career. And then when it comes down to cards, you know, it's the career, the Hall of Fame status, like what they accomplish. Now, Saquon's a different story. He's in a kind of a tough organization. They don't have a lot of talent around. They got some, you know, Tony looked good. So I guess we'll get to talk about him a little bit. But I'm a little bit more worried about Saquon long term. But you're right. It's not a time to sell right now. He was actually on my bye 2 weeks, so he was kind of starting to come back. So I started to see the speed and stuff. But definitely on those two. Tua returns to practice. Just do you have any thoughts on Tua? And I know Dynasty, he's not great just because he hasn't done a lot of super flex. He might be a streamer, but what are your thoughts on Tua and Miami and just in general?
Any young quarterback, it's going to take a good 5 years, 3 to 5 years. If they start earlier than that, that's a blessing. Right. Guys like Justin Herbert, they don't come along every day. Tua, I think, will be fine in the long term. And he may be the kind of guy where he doesn't get dynasty value really until he gets his second contract and he's not in Miami anymore. A lot of quarterbacks really start to hit when they're 28, 29 years old. Mm-hmm. And quarterbacks tend to have the longest career. So to write somebody off because of a lost rookie season or an injured sophomore season or whatever, I don't agree with that. But right. I also don't necessarily like to ride that wave of the early part of a quarterback's career, because it is so up and down. You got guys like Baker Mayfield who looked really good early in his career. And then you move him up to a first round dynasty startup pick. And then all of a sudden that stock drops really quick. It's you got the peaks and the valleys. It's like you're on a surfboard on a 30 foot wave, and then all of a sudden you come crashing down to the ground. And so guys like Tua, like I like his skill set, but I think that he's going to be the kind of guy that takes some time to acclimate. He came out of a bad injury coming out of college. It's going to take some time. And Miami is not exactly the greatest team. So,
I mean, that's a team that had a boatload of first round picks the last couple of years, and they had some young talent, but it still hasn't come all the way together. A lot of us thought that Tua was going to be a redshirt year last year that kind of forced him in when he wasn't completely healthy, like you said. So I still think the jury's still out. I'm just like, I haven't seen the zip on his throws that I just feel like, I don't know if it's the hip or I don't know if he's still not there yet, but that kind of velocity that he has shown, I haven't really seen it come back yet. So I'm hoping that comes back as he gets healthier, because I do think that his arm strength is my biggest question. I think his pocket presence and different things like that are pretty good. Otherwise, like you said, I think he'll just be kind of a mid-tier quarterback at best, which isn't great for the hobby, but could be decent as a fantasy option for sure. I just put up a QB index I saw on NFL.com. I thought it was interesting. Brady's won. He's been playing phenomenal. He's playing phenomenal tonight. Herbert's been playing great. Dak's been playing great. Lamar's been playing great. Kyler Murray's been playing great. And then number six is Mahomes. My question is to you is Mahomes, is there any – let me first give you some background on the hobby. Hobby's been kind of an untouchable. It's been Brady, then it's been Mahomes in terms of rookie card values for quarterbacks. Do you feel that Mahomes is coming back to earth and being on a normal level, or do you still think he is on a different level than the rest of these quarterbacks in terms of talent?
I think he's on a different level. And as with any quarterback, even guys that are elite, they have their times. It could be the offensive line. It could be the receivers. It could be just any number of things. It could be the defense putting them in horrible position, and they've got to drive the ball 80 yards every single time. Try to do that. I don't care if you're elite or not. Try to do that every single time that you get the ball. And you've got to drive the ball from inside your own 20 all the way down the field to get a touchdown or to get within field goal range. So, and plus, I think that the defenses are learning more about Patrick Mahomes. That's another side of it. So the adjustments on both sides have happened, but I don't think that erases the fact. I really do think that Patrick Mahomes is elite and will pick back up he's just maybe a slump, whatever you may want to call it.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the other thing too, it's everybody's looking at that game on Sunday night that everybody saw with the Bills just dismantling them. And you gotta remember the Bills defense is probably one of the top in the league. I mean, their pressure, their secondary, they're great front to back on both sides of the ball. So while Josh Allen is playing well, he, like, if you put Mahomes on that team, think about maybe what he would be doing, because that team is just, they're built like inside and out much better than KC right now, I think. So that kind of showed through, I felt, in that game, is my kind of take.
Right.
So I'm just going to zip through the product review stuff. So I know you're kind of not, you're not buying Cartridge Analysis. We'll go through this quick. Still waiting on Mosaic Football. Still no release date yet. Frustrated about that. Been talking about the show the last couple of weeks. Really fun product. 2021 Collegiate National Treasures 1020. Absolute again 1022 with the Kabooms. Panini Flawless and Panini Spectra is coming November. And then again, I'm just getting impatient. Donruss is our only flagship right now. I'm kind of wanting to get some football cards, but there's not much that's piquing my interest at this point. So what we're going to do is I'm going to update you guys on our Donruss rookie values again. Has been a little bit of movement, and I'm going to kind of clump it to Katie a little bit of how she feels about the quarterbacks, how she feels about the receivers, and then we'll kind of talk in Pitts, and then we'll talk about Najee Harris kind of on his own. So Trevor Lawrence, 12 to 20, he's up a little bit on his rookie. His downtown sold for 1,000. Fields, 550 to 11 for his base rookie. Pink optics for him are going around 60. That's a pretty good value. Mac Jones, 10 to 18, down 30%. So he's actually down to Lawrence. This is the first week, Katie, that Mac Jones has not been the number one rookie. I think right now on average, Lawrence is back to number one. Gold press boost for Mac Jones, 550. Trey Lance, 6 to 10, down 10%. Pink optic preview, 56. Zach Wilson went down a bit after his tough game in London, 5 to 9, down 10% with his pink optic being 40. So with those five quarterbacks, Katie, I think maybe the chalk is probably the most worried about Zach Wilson, but I guess just of the five, who do you really like more than others? How do you feel about those five rookie quarterbacks in Dynasty? Maybe it's super flex.
So one of the things that I do a lot is I study quarterbacks because it is one of the hardest positions to try to peg when it comes to Dynasty fantasy football. And I'm sure it's the same thing with card value. And on average, over the last 20 years, on average, only two quarterbacks per season end up making it past their rookie contract as a starter in the NFL. Wow. And that means that some classes blank. Like we look back 4 or 5 years ago, Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, and Mariota is now a backup quarterback. Jameis Winston got a resurgence and he's finding love with New Orleans, but does that mean that it's going to last? We don't know. How long is that LASIK? So, but at the end of the day, Mitch Trubisky was a top pick just not too awful long ago. Josh Rosen was a top pick not too awful long ago. Sam Darnold, who is finally seeing some resurgence, but it takes that second contract. Quarterback is so tough. It's like speaking a brand new language. You can do it fluently in college, but to make it in the NFL is a completely different thing. Yeah. I really like Mac Jones.
Yeah.
For the ability of, like, people are saying, but he doesn't have any rushing upside. Tom Brady scored 52 fantasy points last week. Yeah. And I texted it to my friends. I said, I thought that this guy couldn't have rushing upside. He couldn't score me good fantasy points. He was higher than Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and everybody. He was one of the top quarterbacks at 44 years old. So right. I really like Mac Jones. I love Justin Fields and his upside with his rushing. I love Trevor Lawrence. Trey Lance, I've got my question marks about, but Zach Wilson is a hardworking dude. Like he's got a big, the New York Jets stink.
Yeah.
He's got a bad offensive line. He's got not the greatest weapons, but he is a hardworking guy that wants to know why did he miss. He's going to look into the film and he's going to learn. He's going to improve.
Yep.
So to try to say which two of these guys, and it may be more because maybe last year's class is the one that blanks. I don't think this year's class blanks. I think we end up with more than just two from this year's class. But to be able to peg them, you know, of them right now, I would say, and I wasn't high on Mac Jones going into the rookie draft. Yeah. I've really been sold basically because of his processor, his brain,
intelligence,
and being able to make more than just the first read. Like, everybody's like, but he doesn't go downfield. Well, he hasn't had any downfield receivers, and New England doesn't really give him that option. Like, he's been playing within his offense. He's a 70%+ completion rate as a rookie. Like, that's huge. I think that's huge.
Yeah. You definitely can build on that.
Right. You can build on that. And then eventually, like, he can throw the long ball.
Right.
He proved that at Alabama. He so when you get everything else around him, he's already processing faster than any of these other rookies. But that doesn't mean long term. I think Trevor Lawrence can catch up. I think Justin Fields can catch up.
Right.
I think Zach Wilson, I hope he can. But again, that just means that another class doesn't get there two or three. That means another class blanks. But I think this class has more than most.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, having five first-round picks, that we haven't had that in a while, so that's a good start. I think just glossing over what you said a bit, I like Fields a lot. I'm really worried about the situation. Is Nagy about out? I hate the changing of culture. I feel like that's what killed Mariota. Mariota had four different offensive coordinators his first 4 years. I mean, remember how good he was his first year, and he showed talent his first year. I mean, if we're talking about Mariota his first year, we'd be like, oh, he's going to be great, you know, but then it fizzled out. Mac Jones, I think he's in a system. Patriots have put a system together to continually be successful, continue to play within their offense. And he doesn't have a lot of weapons either. And he, like you said, he's 70%. Trey Lance, I think I overtrust Shanahan sometimes. I think Shanahan can get it done offensively when it comes with him. So I think so. I watch him play. He throws the 5 yard outs at 100 miles an hour. He's like, he doesn't have that. He has that Josh Allen problem right now where he has no touch yet. Zach Wilson's just kind of a dead end situation. Just seems like it's going to be really hard for him with no talent rebuilding that. If he can take these lumps and still be good mentally in the offseason, they keep building that team, then sure. But it's going to be a tough watch for at least this season and maybe longer. So it's kind of be more stamina for him. And we all know with Urban Meyer and the Jags, a lot of people are thinking maybe that this bye week, Urban will be gone. We'll see.
I hope that Urban is gone.
I hope so too. I think it was a cute idea that it might work.
No, it really wasn't. It really wasn't a cute idea. I don't know who thinks it was a cute idea, but it really, really wasn't.
Yeah, I know. Just reading the tea leaves, for sure. So let's talk about these four. Jamar Chase, 3-7 for his rookie right now. Devonta, 2-5. Jalen Waddle, 1-4. Kyle Pitts, 1-4. Kind of big ones. Jamar Chase, Optic Silver for 54. That's a steal. Devonta Smith out of 50, 95. Downtown for Waddle went for 300. And Optic Hollow Preview for 42 for Pitts. So we'll lump Pitts into the receiver clump here. I'll just start by saying that I've been, preseason, everybody was sell Jamar Chase. He can't catch. He can't do all this. Can't do that. And I've just been extremely impressed. I mean, the numbers are pretty obvious. What are your thoughts of Jamar Chase in terms of a long-term dynasty asset? How high is he for you, or maybe are you low on him?
No, I'm high on Jamar Chase. He's got elite metrics, and for his size and his draft position, and he's already an early season breakout in year one.
Right.
No, I the sky's the limit for this guy. I really like Jamar Chase more so than any of the other ones.
Yeah. Devonta's kind of shown what I thought he could show, maybe some PPR value, not a big touchdown guy yet, but at least I like that he's getting open. I think that's, but again, the quarterback we've talked about, Hurts, is kind of struggling to give him the ball at times as well. What do you think Kyle Pitts upside? My only problem with Kyle Pitts is like Matt Ryan's about done. Like, what's his longevity for Kyle Pitts in your mind? How are you playing him in Dynasty?
Matt Ryan may or may not be done. I mean, he's not like a Ben Roethlisberger where his arm is dying on the vine.
That's true.
I mean, he's still within the age and the realm where he could. Atlanta didn't draft a quarterback early, and they could have. They have done everything they could to put other players around him. So I think that if they keep Matt Ryan, and even if they don't, I think that a rookie quarterback is going to use Kyle Pitts as a binky. Kyle Pitts is a beast. He's a stud. Yeah. But I don't know how much tight ends do with card value compared to wide receiver.
Kels does really well. Waller's been starting to make some sales since he started kind of ascended to get kind of top tier. Kittle's kind of a weird one because he was actually kind of a later draft pick, so he doesn't have a lot of rookie cards. His is kind of weird, but they can if they get to elite.
Raise his value because
right,
not you can't having find as much available. Right, not having right. as many out there, you would think yeah. would raise his value.
Definitely. And then just tell me what your thoughts on Najee Harris. He's been pretty impressive in his first year. With you know, everybody's worried about the Steelers. Their O-line kind of got picked apart in the offseason a bit. He's going for $2 to $4 on his base. It's down a bit. Optic hollow for him, 40 right now. But I think Najee Harris in terms of running back, like, how do you feel about him? Let's maybe just kind of, would you take Najee Harris or Saquon if you had a choice?
I would take Saquon, but I also love Najee Harris. I think he's got the tools. He's a good enough receiver out of the backfield if they use him that way, which they seem to have. Yep. And I like his skill set. He started on a little bit of the older side compared to Saquon, but he hasn't had the injury plague, and that's the biggest difference with him and Saquon. But I think Saquon is more electric and upside when healthy, but Najee Harris is right there too. I think he could be right there too, but he's already 24 years old. So that makes a big difference with running backs. Their career is so short in the NFL. So you definitely want to start with somebody a little bit younger. But as far as a dynasty asset, I would welcome Najee Harris on my team anytime.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And then just two guys, just to mention, and if you can just tell me if you really like them or maybe don't, or like Kadarius Toney put up a big game last week. And then Rondell Moore in Arizona has also made some noise in terms of their volume, at least recently for Toney, but Moore's been kind of been targeted pretty good for a rookie in that offense with the weapons they have. Any thoughts on those two?
I think Elijah Moore is...
Oh, Elijah Moore too? Yeah, sure.
Oh, you're talking Rondell Moore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, both of them's fine. Yeah, I'll
okay. go for it. So, yeah, Rondell Moore and Elijah Moore, I think, are more stable than a Toney. Just because better route runners, better overall offensive players. Like, people think, yeah, Toney's dynamic. But you saw him. He threw a punch this weekend against a guy with a face mask on.
I know.
Like, he does stupid stuff. He's still a hothead. And, man, like, Florida, it's kind of like, yes, he definitely has a lot of upside. But it took a lot of injuries for him to get to this point as a rookie. So, like, I don't see him as a big, huge, dynamic wide receiver one. Owning the offense, he's a glorified gadget player. I wouldn't even say that he's a gadget player because he's more than that.
Right.
He has a lot of juice. And
he does have a lot of juice. I think a lot of people.
He's athletic. He's athletic and he can make things happen. But I like Rondell Moore and Elijah Moore a lot better. I like both Moores better than Toney.
That's fair. I think a lot of people with the Toney, there's this foot speed and like his acceleration, like his ability to accelerate looks like Tyreek Hill a bit. And I know that's a stretch what Tyreek's done, but people have to realize too that Tyreek's probably in his best situation possible, the guy that can fling it 60 yards on a flick, you know, like, and I don't think that Toney has that guy. So even if Toney could be dynamic in that, and I don't see him getting that kind of volume from Daniel Jones on a consistent basis. Like, it's, you know, that landing spot's kind of important. But Toney did show some good stuff last week. We'll see. Just some cheap rookie cards and maybe monitor from this class. So since I had you on, I was excited to have you on. I just put together like a little $10,000 QB stock portfolio. So I'll go through mine first, Katie, and then you could just run through yours and maybe we can just see where our differences are. I haven't seen hers yet. So if we're really similar, then that'll be fun. If we're not, then it'll be some good conversation. So I put together Mahomes. I'll show the prices for the listeners. Mahomes is $8,500 right now for his. So that's almost all of your stock if you go into Mahomes. Josh Allen, $950. Lamar Jackson, $800. Kyler Murray, $440. Herbert, $821. Burrow, $320. Dak, $990. Jalen Hurts, $220. Just kind of took about the top nine-ish QB values as of right now of the kind of up and comers. So I didn't put Brady in there. Obviously, he'd be way too expensive. I didn't do Big Ben or Stafford or Rodgers. I kind of went more with the younger guys that still have some more career left. My picks, I went with three Joe Burrows. So I put 960 of my funds into Burrow for three of them. I put two Kyler Murrays for 880. Josh Allen, I put three for 2850. Dak, two for 1980. And then four Justin Herbert. So most of my money went to Herbert for almost 3,200. So I had about $46 left over. And I said, I'll use the rest on Lawrence base Donruss rookie cards. But in terms of my selections, I just think Herbert's a little undervalued. I just think that he is ascending. I think he's just what he's done has been really impressive. I'm also an Oregon fan, so I can play my Oregon bias there. And then, the reason I went a little bit light on Murray, I think a lot of people might go heavier on Murray. Murray's injury concerns just worry me more just with how he plays, even though he's playing great right now and they're 5-0, and that's awesome. I just don't want to put a lot of money into that for my portfolio. And then Burrow, I think I put three into him because he's super cheap, 960 with the offense he has and what he can do at his age. And then Dak and Josh Allen, I think, are just safe play guys. I think they're going to be great quarterbacks in the league for a while. And I think they're slowly just going to grow, kind of my mutual fund approach with those two. So that's a little bit of my spiel on my 10K. Do you want to say anything about my set first there, Katie, or you just want to roll to yours?
Well, I didn't quite understand what you meant by the 10,000 QB stock portfolio. I didn't know that's what you wanted me to do. But I would agree with you that Justin Herbert is the value of the group at 821 cool. per card. And I would put all my stock, as much of my stock in Justin Herbert as I could. And I agree with you. Joe Burrow is fairly safe. I like his moxie. I like his skill set. I don't think he's going anywhere. And 320 is a very decent price. Dak Prescott is already priced at his ceiling, I think. Jalen Hurts is a big, huge avoid for me at $220 a card. I would just sell because I don't think he's going to have a starting job very long. Like he reminds me, a lot of people were trashing. I don't remember which announcer or which analyst said that Jalen Hurts reminded them of Blake Bortles, except that Blake Bortles wasn't as mobile. And he does. He reminds me of Blake Bortles in the fact that I don't think he's going to keep his job. He's fantasy-wise, garbage points, great. And but he's not a quarterback. He's not a quarterback. He's not a passer.
Yeah.
He can run with his feet, and he does good things. And he creates fantasy points. But if I'm buying cards, I don't want any of his stock. I don't think he's going to be in the league 3-4 years from now as a starter. I don't think he's going to be a starter 3-4 years from now.
Right.
So Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
Justin Herbert. And plus, he's like an injury away. No, he doesn't take the big hit, but he could. I mean, look at RG3. So guys like Lamar Jackson, I think he's already priced close to a ceiling. Josh Allen at 950. That's not quite his ceiling, and I like Josh Allen a lot, and he can sling it. He's a good, strong arm. But give me that Justin Herbert at 821. He's got the strong arm, and he's mobile enough.
Yeah.
Plus, with the Joe Burrow to add in to whatever, I think that would be my combination.
Sounds like you're pretty heavy Herbert, heavy Burrow. Those guys are both in the same class of cards, the 2020 Prism. That was one of Ty and I's products that we said to buy and hold because this has a lot of upside because Tua's in there too, even though he's not playing well. Or I wouldn't say he's not playing well. He's been injured. But yeah, that's good. That's still cool. That's exactly what I wanted out of that. Went over the Hurts issue. Been talking about that a bit as well. That's all good. There's got a couple questions for you, Katie, and we have a quick vintage card spotlight. We'll go through that quickly. I know we're a little bit over time here. What veteran QB do you think has the strongest career? So it's not really even fantasy. It's more of a football question for you. Rodgers, Wilson, Big Ben, or Stafford? I threw Stafford in there. I know he's not close to those guys in terms of Super Bowls and that kind of stuff. But if he continues the track he's on this year with the Rams and kind of finishes his last couple of years, he gets at least one Super Bowl, kind of change that narrative from his Detroit Lions days. How do you feel about those four guys' careers?
I think it's going to be a toss-up between Rodgers and Wilson. I'm leaning more towards Rodgers just because of the body of work. But Wilson has the ability, like if he were to win a Super Bowl or two, he could easily catch up. I think he's got that ability. But whether they build the team around him to finish out his career, keep him, you know, that's the big question. Big Ben is washed up right now. He's done. I think he's had an all right career, but not anywhere near Rodgers or Wilson. Stafford is good. And I like him from a fantasy perspective. We'll see. I mean, the Rams could potentially win a Super Bowl or two here in the near future with him.
Yeah.
But he's more of a long, like, he's got a long way to go.
It just is interesting to me to put him in there because what if he does just win one Super Bowl and then his numbers are close to Rodgers and they both have one Super Bowl? You know what I mean? Right. That's like, it's an interesting point. You know, Big Ben's got two Super Bowls and been very competitive on the Steelers for a long time. So I think he's just always going to have like a nice push. Steelers is a good market too. So Steelers fans are going to pay for his cards. I think Russell Wilson's kind of an underdog here because the way that Russell Wilson takes care of himself in the offseason, all the work he puts in, I think he's that guy that can play as long as Brady. I think Wilson probably play until he's 40. Like, I could see that easily happening. So his numbers and everything have a lot of room for growth. I just think we know Rodgers barely came back this year. So right. I just think Wilson is – I'm with Wilson, I think, on that as well. Just based on I think Wilson can play the longest and probably get a ring or two more. You know, if he has three rings and plays for another 10 years, 8 years, like, that's pretty substantial. Awesome. Which receiver you like the best long term? Jefferson, Lamb, Metcalf, or Chase? Which one's your best one?
This is my least favorite thing in the world to do.
Yeah, because they're all good.
No, well, because they are all good. But as a fantasy football person, my claim to fame is my strategy, not so much my Nostradamus. Who do I think is going to do this or that? But since you make me have to put a pin in somebody, I'm going to pick Chase. And again, I think it's because of that elite ability, top five. And I think long-term, Chase is going to be the best of these guys.
All right. That's fair enough. We already hit number three earlier, so we got number four. Which running back will have the best, like, Hall of Fame career in your mind? CMC, Henry, Zeke, or Kamara? Like, just based on stats, based on overall body of work, which one of those four?
I think Zeke's going to win a Super Bowl, and I don't think the other ones are, so I'm going to call Zeke.
Okay, there you go. I like it. A little Cowboys pick. I'm a pretty big Henry believer because I'm a safe person. I just think he's really safe. I just think just the way he runs, his style of play, he doesn't need to be super explosive with his style. So I just think that I can see Henry still doing this for a few more years, and the Titans are pretty committed to the volume. But, you know, with volume comes more chance for injury, but so far he's held up. So I'd probably go with Henry if it was me, even though I'm a Cowboys fan as well. The last one here, you can agree with mine, or if you have a couple more, three under the radar guys that are kind of ascending to potential stardom in the NFL. I have Michael Pittman. I kind of liked him last year out of the Colts. I was picking up some of his rookie cards and with him and Taylor together. Chase Claypool, I think with the Steelers, has a chance if they get a quarterback figured out here in the next year or two. And then I think A.J. Dillon has the ability to be a Henry-type runner in the league. So I kind of like those three guys for maybe some underlying cheap rookie cards or cheap rookies to go after. How about you?
I don't disagree with those guys, and stardom is a big air quotes. Like, what do you consider stardom? But I'm going to say some guys that are completely under the radar. I think Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
Hunter Renfro from Las Vegas. He was a walk-on at Clemson and is nothing but a lunch pail type dude. He's been putting up some good fantasy points. He's the binky for Derek Carr. And whether or not there's any kind of difference with John Gruden out as a coach, I don't know. But I think that Renfro is a potential star at the end of the day when you look at his full body of work. Another one is Rashad Bateman. He was hurt. He's finally starting to look like he'll come back for Baltimore. Whether or not he's paired with Lamar Jackson his entire career or not, I think Rashad Bateman could be somebody that ends up surprising people. And then the other one is Terrace Marshall, Carolina.
Yeah, good rookies there.
Another one that played with the LSU boys and, you know, just a really great offense. I think he's got the body, the size, the speed. We'll see. I mean, again, under the radar is what you said, and stardom. So those don't necessarily go hand in hand, but
right. But I mean, either way, we'll just say sleepers, guys that could raise value. I think all six of those guys are definitely guys that could raise value. I like Terrace Marshall quite a bit. He definitely looked the part in preseason, the good like volume he got. If he can build on that, get work in the offense a little bit more, that'd be pretty fun. So what I did for that, I asked Katie just like her favorite three older players. Just kind of that's for our vintage section real quick. We'll flip through these real quick. She is a Cowboys fan, so she joins me in that, which is awesome. And she wanted to talk about Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and Michael Irvin. So I'm just going to share my screen real quick and show the listeners the top three rookie cards for each guy. And that way you can just kind of see those too, Katie. And then we will just kind of go from there in terms of talking about your Cowboys love. So first off, so here's Emmitt's. So Emmitt's top three is the Fleer update, which is going for 140. The tops traded for 200, and this score is a supplemental, so it's a kind of a short printed set, you could say, and that's why it's so high. I went for 1300. Katie, I'll just ask, do you think you have any of these cards in your stash?
No, I definitely don't have any of the Emmitt Smith cards, or at least not those particular ones. I did collect I've had two different times in my life when I've collected cards. Once when I was in fourth grade, and that was in the 70s, and I was collecting baseball cards. So I remember collecting Kari Stremski and Pudge Fisk and all my Red Sox. And
there you go.
The Cincinnati Reds at that time were pretty hot. And I sent one of my cards to Kari Stremski and asked him to sign it when I was in sixth grade. His PR person, they didn't even send me my card back, but they sent me an autographed picture of Kari Stremski. So I thought that was pretty cool. I actually got a response. And so I collected cards in the fourth through sixth grade. And then my mom got rid of all those. And then I started collecting again when I was coaching youth sports in the 80s and 90s. And my biggest card that I have that I know of is the 1989 score Troy Aikman rookie card. I don't think I've got any of the Emmitt Smith cards. I collected baseball, hockey, basketball, and football in the 80s and 90s, like mostly anywhere from 86 to 92.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. Here is that Troy Aikman score rookie.
Yeah.
If it is a PSA 10, if it's a perfect condition card, it's 850. I have a BGS 8.5 of the Troy Aikman. It's like $60 for that. 125 for his tops traded, and then 91 for his pro set where he's in his UCLA gear. So there's those ones. And then you also want
the score one the best because you can see his face and he's so cute.
Yeah, definitely. I like the scorecards as well. We talked about that set a couple of shows ago because Barry Sanders rookie was submitted for the vintage card spotlight, and he's also in that set. It's a pretty cool card as well. I agree with you. I like the border. I like the portrait shots as well, and just the color, just the green. I know it's green, but it's still the color that kind of pops on the card compared to the tops traded there for sure.
Right.
And then, so you see that I like to score Michael Irvin the best as well with the blue border. That looks pretty sweet. But yeah, Michael Irvin's options are he's got his pro set as well. So he's in the same year as Troy Aikman for rookie. So $80 for his pro set, $350 for his score, and then $125 for his tops traded. Do you think you have any Irvins in the stash?
I don't think so. Because again, I was a Cowboys fan back then. So I know for sure that I've got the Troy Aikman sitting right here. I've also got him sitting right next to my Super Bowl ticket. The only Super Bowl that I've been to was Cowboys against the Bills in the 93 season. It was Atlanta, Georgia. And on the back of the ticket, there's a hologram of the stadium and then a Georgia peach. So if you rotate the card and the light hits it, you can see the peach pit or you can see the football stadium.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know how much that ticket would be worth nowadays because I was told that the ticket stub is a collectible as well.
Oh, it is. Well, obviously they're numbered because there's only so many seats. So, so you know that. I mean, a lot of people didn't keep them, I'm sure. So definitely that's a pretty cool thing to have. So just real quick before we jump into just kind of reviewing week six and we'll get out of here. Just want to mention my sponsor one more time. Just want to thank Queen City Breaks for being a sponsor to the show. Again, check out their breaks. They're just finished up Bowman Chrome right now. They've been doing different Donruss breaks as well for football. Also they have Instagram as well. If you search up Queen City Breaks, you'll be able to find them as well. But again, I do their breaks, enjoy the time. Avery and Harris do a great job just entertaining and just hanging out. It's a good hangout spot to go open cards. So go check out Queen City Breaks Facebook group. All right. So this is kind of things I'm watching week six. Katie, I kind of do this to kind of the card realm, but I think fantasy well, that kind of blends together anyways. I'm watching Fields at home against Green Bay. I'm really interested to see how he does. He's been kind of inconsistent so far, but kind of playing safe. I feel like I don't think he's playing bad. He's playing safe. But I want to see how he does against Green Bay. It's a division game. I'm pretty interested in that. What are your thoughts on Fields at Green Bay?
I also am very, I like Justin Fields. I want to see his maturation every game a little bit more. And, every game with Justin Fields is going to be one that I'm watching.
Yes, sir. For sure. Me too. Tua, if he plays, I want to see how he looks against the Jags. He gets a pretty easy matchup in his first game back. If he is back, I want to see, does he look healthy? Is he pushing the ball down the field? So I'm interested to see how Tua does. Mahomes, can he get back on track against Washington? I know we said he's still elite, but Washington's defense really been struggling. Can he just get back, get that 5-touchdown, 400-yard game that we've seen him do many times? I'm kind of interested in those two. How about anything to say on those two?
No, I'm very disappointed with Washington's defense as a whole. And they were supposed to be one of the top defensive lines and leading the pressure in sacks. Not even close. They're just a paper tiger. So I think that Mahomes can get back on track against Washington and beat up an NFC East team. That would be awesome.
Yep. Definitely. I'm really interested in Herbert versus Lamar. I mean, Herbert's been head-to-head with some good teams and good quarterbacks like the last 4 weeks, and he's been victorious in all of them. He gets Lamar this week, and Lamar's on a roll as well. I think the Ravens keep getting in holes, and he keeps getting them out of there and winning these games that the Ravens really have no business winning, in my opinion. I think the Colts played really well and then just gave it away, but he's getting it done. So I'm really interested in that game, just in those two going head-to-head. And then Kyler's the underdog against Cleveland at 5-0. They're underdog against Cleveland to kind of show us how strong Cleveland's roster is. Kind of interested in those two games. What do you got anything to say about those two?
No, everybody was talking about Lamar versus Mahomes and he can't beat Mahomes. And then he did.
Yeah.
So this is the next one. It's like, Herbert, can you beat Lamar? And right. I think he can. I really want to see it. And I think it's going to be a good matchup. I really like Justin Herbert more as an all around complete quarterback. Lamar Jackson still hasn't. He's got the running, and he's starting to get a little bit better as a passer as far as he's going more deep than he ever has, which is good. And he's starting to get his other weapons involved. And I really, for a fantasy purpose, hope he continues to keep Mark Andrews on his radar.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a good matchup, like
right.
Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson. Then sure. I don't think that Kyler Murray, I can't believe he's an underdog against Cleveland. You got the OU Heisman house going, Baker Mayfield versus Kyler Murray. I think Baker snores louder, or not snores, but he sings the OU fight song in his sleep. So is that going to affect the game? I don't know. I'm going to take Arizona 100% of the time against Cleveland in that matchup. But I really want to see Kyler shine.
Yeah, I'm liking seeing Arizona being 5-0. I really thought it was the Rams for sure. So yeah, I thought Arizona would be the fourth team just because I didn't think their defense could hold through, and they have. So I'm pretty impressed with them for sure. Chase keeps chasing rookie receiver records versus the Lions. Last week I mentioned, Katie, that he's 150 yards past where Jefferson was last year, and he has four more touchdowns where Jefferson was at this point last year with what Jefferson did in terms of breaking the receiving rookie record for the yardage for the season. We know that Moss is a 17 and Chase already has 5. So, I mean, I'm really interested to see if he can break those records. They're pretty hard records to break. And then Jonathan Taylor, keep his momentum going. I've kind of been a Jonathan Taylor, supporter, you could say. I thought his cards are way too cheap. I think he's an RB1 waiting to happen. Like, he can just really, I really like what he can do. And he actually did a lot in the passing game on Monday night. So can he keep that momentum? And then lastly, the Henry versus number one run D on Monday. Will Henry just be slow down, or will they be still able to give him the volume, and will he be effective? What do you think about those last 3 points there?
I think Chase is the dude, and against the Lions, it's not much of a test. Jonathan Taylor, I love Jonathan Taylor, and I think that yes, he keeps his momentum against Houston. Houston is nothing this year, and Henry against the number one run defense on Monday against the Bills. That will be a big test, but I think that Henry will prevail as far as he'll get his. Right. I don't think the Tennessee Titans will beat the Bills, but I think Henry will still get his.
Yeah, and we'll see if Julio coming back helps at all, even though he hasn't been showing us much this year so far.
Right.
Just to finish up with just some spreads and some games that I'm really excited to watch this week, and then we'll get out of here, Katie. Dallas at New England, +4 for New England. It's just, I feel like it's a semi-trap game for Dallas just because New England obviously can play well at home. Dallas is coming into a bye the following week, so making sure they don't sleep on that one. Green Bay at Chicago. Chicago's a 4.5 underdog. KC at Washington, just can Mahomes get back on track? We talked about 7 points. That's probably going to be more pretty soon. It seems like people are betting the KC quite a bit on that. Chargers at Baltimore, -3 for Baltimore is favored. So that's a little bit interesting. Like you said, you like Herbert there. Arizona at Cleveland. Like I said, Cleveland's a -3. Seattle at Pitt, +4.5. I put Seattle at Pitt just because I'm interested to see what Seattle looks like without Wilson. And Pittsburgh's in kind of, they have to win. They've really had a tough go. They lost three straight, won last week. Can they keep it going? And then lastly, I'm going to be watching that Buffalo-Tennessee game on Monday with Tennessee being a 5.5 underdog there. Yeah, any of those games really stand out to you that you're excited to see?
Yeah, I'm not a better, and especially not when it comes to lines, but I would take the Arizona at Cleveland 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Buffalo at Tennessee, even with the 5.5, totally. Pittsburgh should handle Seattle with no Russell Wilson. But Pittsburgh's been so up and down, a lot of people might avoid that. I think that Dallas is going to win big. Going into New England, I know it's tough, but New England isn't there. Dallas is. And I would take the Dallas +4.
Awesome.
It's just, yeah.
Well, perfect. Well, Katie, I just want to personally thank you again for coming on the show. Again, really appreciate you coming on, giving us your expertise from the fantasy realm. That's the fun part. Would you like to just tell people where they can find your work and how to listen to your stuff and pay attention to you?
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter at FF_Skylar399. I am the diva of Devi. And my Devi rankings are on the Devi dashboard. We have a really nice group with Brandon Lejeune is our chief, and he's been publishing recently the top 300 Devi players. I was involved with that. And Under the Helmet podcast with Chad Parsons every Tuesday night, and it's usually out by Wednesday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. It's a free podcast. You can also subscribe for premium content, which includes so much.
Right. It does. Definitely. Well, again, I appreciate you being on. I hope you have a great week, and on to week 6.
Yes.